Hello, good afternoon and welcome to Enemies of Good Art, the series of live discussion programmes looking at the complex combination of being an artist and being a parent and how those two consuming passions do or do not work together. We're assuming they do, but looking at the intricacies of that. And this week we're focusing on dance, the art form of dance, contemporary dance movement, and considering the issue of childbirth and how that affects a dancer. So we're looking at how, we're asking how does the physical act of giving birth and then becoming a mother affect artists who work with the body? And we'll be considering the changed experience of the body arising from childbirth and how this impacts upon a dancer's creative, choreographic and performance work and intentions and desires and functions. So I'm Lizzie LeCain, a dance artist and writer and mother, and I'm joined here today by Gabby Agus, a dance artist, artistic director of Gabby Agus & Company, one of the pioneers of collaborative performance in Britain, who's worked with a number of visual artists, composers, architects, theatre directors in a lot of site-specific work. She's also one of the leading practitioners and teachers of skin-releasing technique in the world and certainly in the UK. I'm also joined by Henrietta Hale, who's a dance artist, artistic director of Dog Kennel Hill Project, which is a collaborative project with Ben Ash and Rachel Lopez-Dinietta. Henny has danced for many companies and choreographers in the UK, as well as making her own work. She also teaches and researches. And we're also joined here by Ernest Keeling, who is not a dancer, but very much an expert of movement and the body. He's a cranial osteopath with an interest in how our movement develops and changes throughout our lifetime. After a degree in chemistry, he became an osteopath and has spent a lifetime exploring how to help people's bodies be more comfortable and work better. And he's had a practice in Hampstead since 1990, and he also teaches and trains cranial osteopaths. So, I should also say that Gabby and Henny are both mothers as well as dance artists. That's why they're here today. And I'd like to begin by asking you all, just in general, about your relationship with your body as an osteopath and as dancers. People often assume that dancers have some special understanding of what it means to be embodied. And I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about that in general. Ernest, perhaps we could start with you.
I've got very strong feelings about discovering the body, because I started being very passive and thinking, well, science is the important thing, and scientific understanding. Once I felt if you can understand something scientifically, then you can control it, and everything will start going right from that point. And I actually found that wasn't even true of pursuing chemistry. And when I changed and went to osteopathy, to training in osteopathy, it wasn't until I started to make a connection with my own body that I realized it's nothing to do with an abstract understanding that was to get me through. And it's a really fulfilling process, discovering that actually by discovering my own body, I could become a useful osteopath and become a happier person. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And as dancers?
Well, I've often struggled with the idea that through the fact that I have a huge physical practice and, in a sense, particularly in the early days, a lot of training, I've learnt as I've got older to really make sure that I don't assume to know that much, because I kind of, the more I feel like the more I've experienced working with the body and the more I've gone deeper into that, the more I actually realise that I know very little about it, really. And that's, I think, in a big way, kind of fairly serious illness and childbirth taught me that a lot, because I think there's something about when you train your body to do something well or you work in a particular way with your body, you have this sort of sense that you understand it, but actually it just is ever more complex, I think, the understanding. And I think that's in a quite a positive way. I think the older I've got, the more I've sort of become accepting of what I don't understand, and a sense that it's, you know, every day there's a sort of fresh slate, because it just keeps changing as well. And I think something about, for me, a real sense of embodiment is a sense of understanding the impermanence of everything, the impermanence of yourself or something.
That resonates with me, what you've said. It's quite hard to actually, having been dancing for over 30 years now or more, it's quite hard to actually think back to, you know, when one had a different kind of relationship to the body and to dance. But I think what I'm interested now, in terms of when we say embodiment, or when I think about embodiment, listening. So as much as possible, trying to tune in or listen to those changes, or to just the everyday, and that kind of feels like the greatest sort of tool, in a way, that I could kind of give myself to each day moving into a new place.
All three of you seem to have said in different ways something about kind of stepping, your conscious self stepping back and allowing the body to be, to emerge, to speak, to come forward in a way. Henny, you're talking about not...
Definitely. I mean, I think there's... it's definitely sort of almost like a reverse to how you imagine, for instance, a dancer kind of going into trainings and a sense of trying, I suppose. Yeah. And I think that the more I've done, the more I'm really having to pull away from that. And I mean, Gabby, you talk about listening, but actually, I've often found, I'm probably thinking about this differently, but I've often found that I almost have to stop searching as well. I tended in the past, through the practice I've had a sort of real sense of constantly, like, a hypervigilance or a hyper obsession with what's going on. And actually I'm finding it more beneficial to me to actually sort of let it go completely. And I wouldn't say stop listening, but sometimes I just think I want to just let it be whatever it is. And
I think that might be different personality types. I'm a bit of a slacker. So my understanding of listening is is kind of immersed in the kind of fluid and the kind of irregularities of life. So it's not particularly accurate.
I think I sort of understand that too.
I think it's kind of inner outer, which is a thing that I really like to kind of play with. I don't know if that resonates with anyone.
No, I don't get the inner outer. Sorry. Male and female is what occurred to me.
Male and female.
Male being very focused and female being wide open. You know, is that inner outer?
Yeah, I think actually I've been thinking about this, is that maybe this even comes from Jung, is that men go in archetypes here, not talking, men go out into the world, and women, as well as being in the world, they also go more, I think, into their bodies through the precise reason of being able to give birth.
Yeah, yeah.
it's quite fundamental.
Yeah.
Whether you choose to do it or not, that's a whole question, and how that impacts on your life. But I think there is something very, very primal.
Yes. I mean, this is something that I've been thinking about a lot recently. Are women somehow, by definition, fundamentally more embodied than men in some way? I mean, obviously they're not more embodied, but are maybe more sensitive to or aware of that, certainly by things like childbirth, menstruation. You can't avoid it. It's, you know... And I wonder if... well, we're slightly going off the track of dance now. But... well, in a way, we're not, because contemporary dance is essentially an exploration and an expression of an embodied relationship with the world, is it not? And an embodied experience of space, of energy, of weight, and of other people. That's what dancers are doing today. And the more we go into an experience of into an understanding or a letting go or a sitting back and a letting go of that embodied experience, the more dance can say and do. I'm getting a bit.
I think I agree with you, but I think I probably feel a little bit unclear about the term embodied sometimes.
Yeah.
I think in terms of my experience, and I can only speak from that really, I mean, I certainly question whether women are more embodied than men, because I don't really think...
No, that's that, a funny thing to say.
I think Gabby hit something with sort of personality types, because I find that my experience, even though I am someone who works with the body a lot and I have a real sensitivity and embodied, maybe that's something, a physical sensitivity, I actually spend a hell of a lot of my time living in my head, and I'm completely heady person, actually. And so, you know, there's so many contradictions in there. So I wouldn't,
absolutely.
Even...
No, I just mean something about...
I think potentially that actually our experiences as a Western culture rapidly moving towards the extremes of the way that we're living is kind of not particularly useful for a physical experience, male or female. And I think one of the kind of last kind of bastions really that is open to us is making children and physically giving birth to children.
Yeah.
It feels like that's kind of one of our last...
Yeah.
You know, we don't go out in our society, we don't go out and catch animals to bring home to slaughter anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, or maybe you do if you have an estate in Scotland.
Yeah.
But I think this is one of the last things.
Yeah.
That we have that really connects us to our physical primitive self
as animal, isn't it?
As women, and then men are also part of that in creating the child and witnessing that act or not. I think there's something key about that,
about the process of giving birth.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then at the other end, death.
Yeah. Okay.
There's all the stuff in between, but, you know, fundamentally there's the first breath and the last breath, and I don't know.
So how would Gabby and Henny, how would you describe your experience of your body having been changed by having had a child? Your experience of your own body and your experience of yourself as a moving person, moving artist.
I think it gave me a completely different idea of this idea of a core, you know, like a centre of self. I think, well, for ages after I'd given birth, I kind of had absolutely no idea what that was. I kind of, I remember sort of creatively and in the body kind of thinking, there's nothing in the middle, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a sort of physiological thing, perhaps, because so much goes, you know, because your centre is so sort of messed around somehow by, you know, just, you know, literally that your organs have all moved around.
Yeah, and for 9 months, your sense of gravity has shifted. And
for 9 months, you sort of barely can use your stomach muscles. And so you've had this completely sort of other experience physically of... And yet at the same time, there's a sense of groundedness. When I was pregnant, so I felt completely sort of... I felt like it didn't matter. And I was really grounded. And I felt like, in terms of moving, I felt really okay and solid. And then actually, it was after giving birth, I felt somehow empty in the middle, and so it took me a while to kind of actually, but part of that was it was like a whole fundamental reassessing of everything. I remember creatively sort of feeling like everything that had gone before was nothing, because now I was starting again from the beginning. And then if you put yourself in that position, it's absolutely terrifying, because you don't know what's holding you up anymore, and you just what was all that work I made, and what was all that dancing I was doing, because now everything's just changed. So that's really fundamental, I think. But it's good, you know, it's like a complete slate. And it sort of touches on something Gabby was saying earlier about wiping the slate clean creatively, and that maybe something about birth allows you to do that.
So after birth you had this, you sort of lost your sense of centre.
Yes.
And then... And where did
that go? Where is it going now? Well, that was 3 years ago. So now I don't feel that as strongly. I don't feel this sort of lack of centre. Or maybe I've sort of let go of the idea of... I'm sort of letting go of the idea of centre being that tangible. It's like I feel a bit more like... I keep bringing it back to this sort of experiencing change all the time, so that things, you know, things can be right off centre, things can...
Yeah.
I feel a stronger sense of... I'm less pushing for extremes, definitely. Yes, I'm less trying to feel things, actually. I'm more just able to kind of... be much softer about my physical approach to moving. So it's maybe working within a much subtler range of sensation or tone. And I have a memory of before giving birth having this real sort of like always wanting to push everything to even internally. So it's not an external pushing, but these internal kind of like I want to feel my psoas stretch.
And
I kind of think, oh no, I don't really want to go there. You know, it's this sort of feeling like it's a lot softer.
I'm wondering, that word for centre, if it's also like, as you were talking, I'm just thinking, is that not the self that she's really talking?
Yeah, like, of course it's the self, but it feels totally the self.
Like I was just thinking, you know, in relationship to the self, everything you were describing, and I suppose there's the process of the physicality and everything that goes on within the world of giving birth, and then the fact that you've got this other person in the world now, and that changes... almost everything, or you know, in some ways. Yeah. Although in other ways, you know, life goes on the same. But there is this other person in the world that is connected to you in such a fundamental way. Mm. So yeah, I
do think the centre thing, it relates to sort of everything. It kind of relates to your sort of drive and ambition as well, because I felt like my. The things that had sort of been pushing me forward just weren't there as in the same way.
Yeah.
They didn't seem as important, and that was actually quite frightening.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to let go of those things sometimes.
Sure,
that sense of, you know.
I mean, I'm wondering, so that's why I kind of was questioning in a way whether that comes. I mean, I had a child in my mid-30s, so I'm thinking that's a time when potentially a lot of people were having children in their mid-30s. And I'm thinking also, would not your relationship to your practice be changing anyway, regardless whether you've had a child or not?
Yeah.
So I think maybe my experience of once I'd had a child, even now that she's nearly 15, it takes much longer for anything to come to being in terms of a piece of work. And that may have coincided in the decades that come, and is all that around having a child as well and giving birth. But is it maturity? I don't know. but the things we were talking about early, like a longer gestation period, a sense of actually even after the work goes out, a sort of clearing.
You're talking about a longer creative gestation period.
Years and years.
I feel, because for me it was only 3 years ago, but I haven't actually managed to complete a piece of work since. I've done lots of stuff and showing, but I'm literally still making the same piece that I just keep doing again and again, because I don't feel like it's... I don't feel like it will ever complete.
But I think there's something very wonderful about giving into that. I've found, like, okay, this is the way it is. You know, these are the cycles that I'm making, and they're long.
Well, I know I'm the same. I sort of feel like I resent the idea that I have to sort of arrive at a piece like that. It has to sort of reach this completeness thing, because I don't feel like it ever will. I don't feel like my life ever will. I'm never going to kind of.
and you're saying that's different from before you had a child.
I don't think I thought about it as much then.
Yeah. I mean, for me, my sense of my own body and my sense of moving, either performing or trying to create work to perform, it's like it's night and day before and after having given birth. It's absolutely the other side of the world, on the other side of the looking glass. Mm. I mean, I just feel completely different in every possible way. And a lot of it is resonates with what you were saying about, you know, all that sort of yearning for extremes. And, you know, before I was, you know, I'd absolutely work so hard that I was dead, and then I'd pick myself up and do it all over again, and it would all be, you know, pushing for that height of whatnot. And now that's very different, but it's not just about being more relaxed. It's just about, I don't know, it's completely different. My body looks different and feels different and will never be the same again. And
I'm sorry to interrupt, Lizzie. Mm. Maybe Ernest would come in after this about some of the experiences of it. But I remember Lizzie saying to me, how long does it take to get back to where you were?
Right.
And I said, never. I said, Lizzie, it's never going to get back to where you were.
Yeah.
But where you go to is great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think that goes for our society anyway, doesn't it? It's like, when am I going to look like 23 again?
Yeah.
You know, you're not. And you know what? It's okay. There's like...
Absolutely, Gabby. In the same way that I got caught a sense that here are women dancers trying to justify their art, and actually they've got this creative experience which nobody else has, and you don't have to justify it to anybody. Everyone else is trying to get in on the act, and here you have it. But the problem is to listen to it and see, well, can people hear the way you expressed, Lizzie and Henny, how you felt? It was quite surprising to me, the struggle before, and then you were changed. And all these experiences need to be conveyed, because they happen in every field and need to be happening. But how do we convey it? Because if it's not conveyed, it's almost we're as isolated as before.
Yes. And it just gets missed. It gets missed by the... Well, the public image of the art form and all the rest of it.
That's good.
I mean, I think, you know, I was so excited by giving birth.
Yeah.
I was so excited that I was having these sensations, these images, these physical experiences, and my body was taking over.
You mean in pregnancy and in labour?
Both, yeah.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like a sort of sensation kind of
junkie
nut. Yeah. But I was like, maybe that inner outer thing. I mean, maybe it's also looking at, but there is something in the act,
yeah,
especially of birth, where yeah, actually the body knows what to do.
It's total surrender, isn't it? In a way of.
And I think because yeah, we're so used to controlling things,
yeah,
in our lives,
yeah,
it's one of those things that for society and in general is like, it's like, how are we going to control this? And yeah, I'm not saying, you know, that we shouldn't have
yeah,
intervention when it's needed to yeah, save lives,
yeah,
but it's also that thing of this is an individual experience.
Yes.
And I'm kind of really keen on it being individual, because I think yeah, it actually is.
Yeah. What do you mean, keen on it being individual?
Well, I mean, everybody having their own voice of that moment if they do give birth.
Yeah.
That there isn't, you know, that we can all share our experiences and they might be similar, but actually it's so unique to everyone.
I mean, when I talk about this life through the looking glass and, you know, either side of the looking glass, myself before and myself after, I do think in one way it was that, you know, that actual moment of that other human being coming out of me that is the sheet of glass between those two. And I'm really grateful, actually, that the labour and the birth process was quite long, to have a little bit of time inside that incredible space. And at least, you know, I've got some real memories of that change point. And I have a physical memory of my pelvis expanding to let that head come through. It was agonizing and fantastic. It was incredibly sort of cathartic and amazing. And just going back to how my body feels now, and yes, it's not so extreme and it's not so powwow and amazing. But I do have a much greater sense of it, actually, as a whole thing. I have a greater sense of my. I think something really useful happened in my own awareness of my pelvis and spine, which has enabled me to work on alignment in a way that I never was able to beforehand. It's just given me a sort of a sensation of it. I can link to it and feel it. And so you, Henny, talking about sort of losing the centre, I've sort of found my centre through giving birth. But then I was probably not as much.
I think when I talk about the point where I was losing centre, it was, you know, literally 6 months afterwards. It's not really now. I mean, because
yeah,
I actually started, I started moving again quite soon, and it was probably far too soon to really kind of be doing what I was doing. But I have, I mean, I, you know, maybe just to broaden the picture, I have quite a different experience of labour that wasn't, you know, really wasn't that fantastic.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah.
It, you know, and I think that, you know, I can sort of speak for the women that didn't have the sort of wonderful experience junkie thing. Because, I mean, you know, it was, for me, because he was so late, so, you know, I couldn't avoid intervention in the end because there was sort of... I mean, I guess I could have, but, you know, I was sort of scared into the fact that it was not necessarily going as well, not necessarily proceeding. What's the word they use?
Procedure.
Failure to proceed or something,
yeah,
but not proceeding.
Progressing.
Yeah. Not progressing, non-progression, and all that. But funnily enough, it could be a generalisation again, but I feel like my experience, which was literally that he he was over 2 weeks late, and then when I did go into labour, it was very, very slow, and then it sort of wasn't progressing. So it ended up going to this point where I was having the drip thing that they put in.
Yeah, I had
that too. Can't remember what it's called. and then it got to the point where I had an epidural, so then I didn't have any of the sensation of my pelvis expanding. I just couldn't feel anything. I was like, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. As, you know, at that moment of birth. So I didn't really feel like I had ownership of it. But having said all that, you know, I still had that clear-cut moment of when he was born. It was still this complete emotional rush of the first moment I saw him and he was born. I still think that was completely essential and primal as well, the sort of connection that we immediately had. Going back to that, I actually feel that there's something very common in my experience among dancers or people who... And it's also going back to the earlier thing I said about, you know, this assuming that I know. I sort of had this arrogant assumption of like, oh, I'm so sort of embodied and connected and I'll know what to do and I'll let my body do it and my body will know because... And, of course, it didn't at all, you know. I didn't really know what I was doing and I had no sense.
Yeah, I think... And, you know, I think it is very common. They say for people who athletes or women that ride a lot, horses, and the pelvic floor is very, very strong. So,
but I think it's to do with the type. I feel like I'm a type that I have a lot of kind of awareness or something or sensitivity, and it's what again I was saying about this sort of hypervigilance that actually that creates a sort of constitution. I think that means that even though theoretically the idea of letting go is something I've really sort of I do understand it, or the idea of surrendering, I probably actually don't know how to do that in reality, in a sort of animal kind of way, because I don't think that I was able to really, you know, find that. So yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah, I think actually the kind of areas that you potentially might go into in terms of letting go are very, very scary and frightening and distressing and confronting and difficult. So, yeah, I don't think it's a bed of roses. But there is something about having been, you know, in that place of the unknown, and because it is unknown. The kind of opens a sort of, you know, opens a door or a window or all those metaphors, and then I think there is something extremely exciting about it in terms of creativity. And also that thing of like, as a, you know, that you're doing it because you want to and you must, and there's not those illusions of when you're younger that you have, and you know, that kind of fantastic kind of desperation of youth and energy and striving and ambition and, you know, all bundled up. And
are you saying that childbirth draws a line under all of that?
No. I think you can still be ambitious and energizing and hungry. Yeah. But I think you bring with it this other awareness.
Totally.
But I think, you know, I'm aware of generalising, so I think it just seems to be.
And how do we feel that the profession or the industry, God forbid, that we're in, kind of accept this where we are?
I don't think they really care.
I don't
think they're listening. But you know what?
I don't know that it has to do with childbirth. I just actually think there's something about women that are getting older that become...
taboo.
Disappears off into the margins somewhere.
But there's nothing like childbirth to you know, to hurry up the sort of softening of the body, is there? And the sort of, I mean, I, you know, I want the loss of the six-pack tummy and all that. You know, it's just those, I mean, I sort of...
Yeah, but all those things are exterior. It's like, you know, it's only to, you know, like if the sense of what you're making is about what you're making, I mean, in terms of a piece of work, then if things, you know, need, you know, it's like the six-pack stomach is potentially there to enable you to do something. But actually, if the language you're speaking is a language that is coming from a place, then it seems kind of irrelevant.
Well, it is irrelevant, totally irrelevant, but it is what the industry is still largely about.
Well, it's not the industry that I'm involved with.
No.
Or want to be involved with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we can kind of almost categorically say at this point, you know what, we're doing things differently.
Yeah.
And some people will really enjoy it and like it and appreciate it, and there'll be other people, possibly even in the industry, who won't get it, who don't like it.
Yeah.
And I say there's hopefully enough space for us all.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah. But the industry is getting it as well, isn't it? It is.
I think it's perception. It's about perception. Perception of what a dancer is, what a dance artist is, who they are. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm struggling to define the industry at the moment. It's like, well, there's a sort of there's the mainstream perception of dance, but that's sort of different to the fact that the culture is quite large doing. Still.
Yeah.
There's still, like Gabby says, there's still room.
Yes. Yes.
To. Still room to operate in other ways, isn't there?
Yeah. Let's hope, eh? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to find ways.
Yeah.
You have to be inventive. Which can be exciting. Sometimes not frustrating. But, you know.
You mentioned industry, and that makes me think of where is the power, where's the market, and all those things. And there's the same in healing work, there's the actual work you're doing, but there's also all the industry around it and the control and the politics. And and it is actually a battle. You can't just say, oh, I opt out of this. Either your view will prevail or you'll be... You'll be snowed under. So I used to say, well, you know, I'll just be apolitical, but in a way, the answer is what Gabby just said. Find another way. And that's what the artist can do, is to show another way. And if there aren't people showing another way, we would be lost.
I think it's really exciting because I think... on the rare occasion I am in a room with a lot of politicians recently, and after talking, sort of not even engaging in sort of fleeting conversation around the room, I just got so demoralised and so depressed with all the changes that are happening and people in public service kind of looking, you know, it just was just devastating for a person who's, you know, like we've been through Margaret Thatcher and then been through New Labour and now we're coming around. And I just came out of that place and I just thought the only thing right now that matters is that I must make my work. I think that's the only, you know, and I'll go on the marches as well, but I just thought it's really important that we make this work.
Yeah.
Because by the very nature of it existing, it is totally political.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I just thought that was really exciting. I know it seems a bit, but you know, the whole relevance of being an artist and how you align yourself.
Well, it's your contribution, isn't it? It's your contribution to the world, to the debate, to the to the present.
Yeah. It's really important. It exists, and I think in that way, as artists, as women, as mothers. You know, it's really, really the visibility thing is another debate, but the fact that you kind of actually are still I say, because I do think it's there's a lot of fight there. But I think it's really exciting.
And as mothers, as you said, the creative periods are very long, they're open-ended. I forgot what I was going to say now. No, I'm sorry. Sorry, I had something right on the tip of my tongue. It's gone.
It's a different way? No.
We are fundamentally located in our bodies as dance artists. Giving birth is one of the biggest reminders, changes, things that you can do in your body that changes everything. So afterwards, you move and experience the world through your body in a different way. And that doesn't fit in as easily with the way the world worked as it might have done before. Because, as you say, it takes longer, it's a bit more, maybe more difficult to access. I mean, I just know that now, being a mother and the pressures on the time and all the rest of it, I mean, being an artist is a hard choice anyway.
Yeah.
And
is it a choice?
Right. And, you know, and with a child, you know, it's even harder. And you don't have the, you know, you're not going to meet the deadlines you might have met. You're not going to have the space
I think that's the problem we get into, thinking it's harder. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we're retrogressing into the before and after.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yes.
Some things,
yes,
in terms of time, the economics of it are definitely harder.
More complicated.
Complicated.
Yes.
But how about we try and...
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I agree with you. There are things which, well, for me, are much easier now. I don't know.
Right.
I think my way of... choice making is more instinctive, it's more direct, I waste less time. You know, there's a lot of incredibly positive aspects. And also, going back to this, this is very personal, but my having sort of somehow being able to have more access to a sense of centre, it's a sense of alignment. I basically have had pretty dodgy alignment my whole life, and it's somehow I'm able to access that more now than I was before, and to change that and to work with that and just have a sense of it. And that has, my whole sort of reason for moving was always some kind of sort of need to relate to space and relate to edges of spaces and walls, and somehow I'm doing that in a really different way now, a much more effective way somehow.
That's why I was going back to where Ernest said maybe it was male, female, the inner, outer.
Yeah.
The sense of the interior.
Yeah.
You know, you both spoke about how kind of grounded, but in a good way, you felt when you were pregnant.
Yeah.
But the experience of the interior, there's nothing like carrying a child to term or carrying a child...
Yeah.
To allow you to feel the interior of the body.
Yes.
I mean...
Yeah.
Mm. So the world now is in the inside and on the outside.
Yes.
So...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you don't feel like you have to push to the extremes in order to be able to feel. You can actually... There's so much more.
Yeah.
There's so much
to
more.
To be experienced.
There's so much more.
Yeah. I really enjoy that, actually. I'm really... enjoy a sort of a sensitivity to just really small things and changes, and I think going back to the sort of more political conversations, it sort of feels like it's about that kind of, it's a battle of those sorts of values, because those things somehow don't, you know, the micro detail of experience in terms of like things on energetic levels and the fact that actually experiencing really small changes can actually have a much more profound effect.
Absolutely.
On life sometimes. And I think sometimes I think that as a sort of value system feels like something really important to
really
have learnt, and it feels it's not very easy to push that out sometimes, because we tend to sort of, life tends to sort of be, everything's sort of being big categories and ticking big boxes, and whereas actually when you look at, you know, I'm kind of talking politically here, but when you look at sort of initiatives that are sort of out there ticking the right box, the actual detail of what's going on is just like, it's not actually really happening. Nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm. But it's the investment as well, isn't it? It's like the investment of exploration.
Yeah.
You know, actually, that is something that you've decided to do with your time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge investment. And it's and in that way, it's embodied, I think, because it's like you're discovering the relationship of self. And then when you kind of take it beyond that in terms of actually performing or teaching or relating to others in whatever environment, all that investment is there, but no one really is gonna, you know, pay you particularly huge sums for that investment. Well, I've yet to meet them, but you know.
I don't know.
There's a theme that sort of recurred through this conversation about I don't know how to describe it, sort of cycles and flux and a wave of continuity, and Henny, you were saying something about allowing, well, energy or you're talking about completing or not completing a piece of work and all that sort of thing, sort of allowing things to rise and fall in a way and keep changing, allowing change. Mm. And also, Gabby, you've said this in different ways, and this is also, Ernest, of course, what your sort of overarching theory and approach is about. And I think there's something about having, you know, experienced pregnancy and then producing a child, however that, you know, happens, it is almost like surviving death. It's something, you know, ends and then something else comes and then you're left with this emptiness and then da 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 da. And I think the way we work as dancers is becoming more and more, is more and more inclusive of that sort of process.
Hopefully there is an awareness of it. I don't know how far reaching it is, but I think there has to be an awareness of the integration. As we age, you know, we have a physical relationship to our practice, and we use our, you know, however we use the body, we're using it to express that.
Yeah,
and we're going to continue having a relationship with our body until we die.
And of course that will change whether or not we have children and whether or not.
Yeah.
Any of that,
but I think it's like we have to keep going.
Yeah.
We're not suddenly going to. Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah. You know.
I mean, you spoke to me earlier before today, really interestingly, about how when you started dancing, that was absolutely your survival.
Yeah.
You know, that was the way you survived. That was the way you communicated. That's the way you felt alive and stayed alive. And then you said that, you know, as you've got older, as you've become a mother, as blah, 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 dancing means something different to you now. And it's more about, if I'm remembering correctly, you said something like it's more about It's not just an experience. It's something that you can work with.
Yeah, I think dancing means different things to people. But when I was much younger, it sounds very, very melodramatic, but I'm not sure I would have survived because I didn't have a voice. It was very hard for me to even begin to talk. Like a lot of teenagers, you know, but then that carried on. So in a way, dance for me was my absolute expression or outlet. But I think this is very common for a lot of artists. So it has changed, and I'm really glad it's changed. It had to change.
And it's something that you don't get lost in the same way, or don't get have to. Doesn't it consume you in the same way, or something?
I think it consumes me. In a different way.
Yeah.
I think there is the consuming, the focus.
But
it's very different.
And you also said it was easier for you to work with other people now. I mean, all of us here are collaborators, not with each other at this moment, but but you know. And I think there's something that's made that, I think there's some connection between becoming a mother and being able to collaborate as well. I'm sure it's not the only way people can learn to collaborate, but I think there's something about a sense of there is only, you know, you're one self encapsulated in one body, and someone else is another self encapsulated in another body, and there's a sort of intersubjective negotiation between those two, and it's, I don't know, there's, it's also to do with this flux thing, things that.
It might be on very practical levels.
Yeah.
That's what I also think.
Yes.
You know, you described them earlier. You can't waste time, and you know, it becomes very. I think one of the things that's changed, I don't know again whether that's becoming a parent or a mother and or just age, is like the times that you're in the studio, they're quite specific if you have people, you know, and as much of it become for me it's exciting because it becomes much more merged, the life that you lead and the work kind of becomes a little bit more
in a funny way. I found that partly because of what you're saying, Gabby, the time thing, I feel. And it's an age thing, but I feel less willing to compromise, actually. Yeah. So whether that makes me a better or worse collaborator, who's to know?
You mean...
depends on the collaboration,
right,
I think.
Yeah, you know,
I actually had a really not such a good one recently, because I found, you know, it's that sort of time thing. I just thought, actually, if something's not right, then I'm not going to sort of mess around expecting it to be
absolutely,
you know,
you kind of like, so time was, is of the essence, so if something's not, you know you could, whereas before maybe you would be enthusiastic and kind of fudge it, and now
you're right.
There's one aspect that you don't touch on, and that is that the what the mother does with the child. Once the child is there, suddenly this child is there, and this moulding process goes on, which we've all had, but is unconscious. We don't know. I don't know the switches my mother set.
Yeah.
But by God, I've been lived out my life as a result.
Yeah.
So the more you visit that process and becoming a mother, you suddenly almost got access to all our switches, you know, and so you've got more power than you realise. And that is very obvious to me, but it doesn't occur to you.
Actually, no, that does. I feel quite huge, that weight of, you know, what effect am I having on this child's future completely? And it feels like the consequences feel like they could be very long, a long time coming. So consequences of behaviour that, or relationship that we have now that might be working. I'd still have these questions of like, okay, this is working now, but is this really, like, I like your analogy of switches. Is this really switching the right switches for his...
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting, I think, that.
One of the things that I've found really useful when people ask me about the relationship of being an artist, which can be all-consuming, and other professions, the relationship between being a mother and or a parent, and it's like, in terms of time, I found one of the most useful things when I was with Jessie... I'm with her. I don't attempt to answer phones or try and look at emails or, you know, like I'm with her. And then when I'm going to work, I'm very clear with her and myself that I'm going to work, or when I've gone away a lot to work as well. And actually that's worked really well for us. There's a clarity there. And I think I've seen a lot of distress between parent and child when that is not clear. And either they're working and they're thinking they should be with the child, or they're with the child and they're still trying to do some work. And I mean, there's so many different ways of doing things. You know, I'm not... But I think there is something around it there that really has had great clarity for me.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, I think that clarity is really important, but I do think allowing him to witness me working feels really important.
Oh, yeah,
as well.
If they come to the place of work obviously, but
and to and a sort of understanding of when I'm working, he can be there.
Oh,
but that I'm working, and then you know that
Henny, she was on the Game Boy age 6 outside the studio door, and she wasn't allowed to come in until the class had finished. So like you should be. So I'm absolutely like, I'm not like, you know, so, but it's just been useful to you know, yeah, the Game Boy.
I mean, I didn't do very much at all for the first year and a half. Not out of choice, not out of any great, you know, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mum. I was just too knackered. And
the first year, especially, I was feeding, and Jessie didn't take food for the longest time. But I did do a little bit, but it was really, really hard. The first year is
that's hard for a dancer to not do it. You know, well, it's hard for any artist.
I'd always say a year in your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it wasn't actually hard. It was hard on some weird heady level, but on a physical level, it was just, this is the only way it's going to go. And I'm actually, you know, really happy with that. You know, in the bigger
picture.
Well,
especially in relationship to I will only have one child, so that feels very different.
Yeah. We're back to, you know, what's the point in having a child and trying to go back to life as it was before, you know? Like, so I think we're running out of time. Thank you all so much. It was a fascinating discussion going all over the place in different directions. I don't know if any of you have a closing comment that you'd like to make, or anything that you're left with that you're going to think about.
I'd be glad if some seeds were sown to explore outwards. There's much more could be explored. I find that really thrilling, actually.
I just want to thank Lizzie, really, for pulling this all together, because it's been really great in the conversations we've had individually and between us. I think for younger women who are in the dance profession, or you know, just to actually know that it's possible.
Yeah,
I think you know it's hard for you to realise you're growing up and becoming, you know.
Yeah. It does. It will all fit together.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you so much. Next week, Martina Mullaney is back talking about homeschooling and artists who decide to take a break to go down that route. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.